Yesterday, when I mentioned that the Panahida represents our belief that in heaven there is a banquet, a party, they said, how come the music sounds so sad? And I compare it as an example. When my second nephew was being born and my sister was in the hospital, the young boy was 2.5 years old. And he was crying at home, where's my mommy, where's my mommy? Even when life is happening and there's great joy, if we are separated from the people that we love, we feel sadness. So for the Christians, this mixture in this life of joy and sadness, joy because your child goes to school for the first time, but sadness because he or she is not with you. Joy at a marriage, at a beautiful, loving couple starting their life together, but sadness because the mother or father, usually the mother, misses the child. So we have this often in our life, and so it is with the life of faith, that sadness because of our separation. For even Jesus, when Lazarus died, it says in the scriptures, Jesus wept. And so throughout Catholic churches and Christian churches in the entire world, you have icons, statues of people who have died, not simply to remember, but more profoundly to proclaim the belief and the faith that relationships never end. And these people are alive in Christ because God is a God of the living, not of the dead. Death was not part of his plan. It was not what he wanted. It was what our ancestors chose badly, and we are afflicted by. But he promises to give us life. And so all the great artists from Michelangelo and onward who depicted people who had died were proclaiming through their art, as we proclaim through our music, our words, and our life, that this is a start of eternity. That in spite of what some people may think, because life is so fragile and fleeting, it is all the more important the single deeds of love and tenderness that we proclaim. Some people look at the church and said, boy, the church only taught me how to feel guilty. No. Whoever had that dysfunctional idea didn't get the gospel taught to them correctly. It is a truth of the faith that we are never punished because of our sins. We are punished by them. We afflict ourselves with dysfunctional behavior that causes sometimes harm to us and to those that we love. And sometimes we cry in our humanity and frailty, I can't stop. Some people party because they have something to celebrate. Some people party because they have nothing to celebrate, want to forget who they are and where they are, and sometimes who they're with. We as Christians proclaim a repentance that is not based on feeling bad for what you've done, about being embarrassed by what you have done, which may be the case, but more profoundly, being committed in faith to change your life with God's help because you love people. I am willing to spend my life repenting, changing, because I want you to have a better husband, a better wife, a better brother, a better sister, a better child, a better friend. This is the core of Christian repentance. Not crying over what you've done, but crying because you have loved so little. And sometimes in that faith, asking amazing grace, God's power to say, I can't do it alone, but I want to be a better friend, a better husband, a better father, mother, cousin. whatever title and all the titles that you own. This is the goal of Christian repentance, based on every failure being an occasion, an opportunity to be courageously loving enough to say, this is not who I can be. The reason I say this is because we have before us a Christian who loved, who repented, who started again and again. You who know her successes, her loves, and her failures, because in the Panahid that we say only God is without sin, can take example and can offer her forgiveness, and to be also those Christians who proclaim this relationship is not at an end. Whenever we speak of God, we never use the past tense in liturgy. Sometimes you might hear people say, what would you do if Jesus was here? The Christian response is, he is. It's a hypothetical that never has to be presented, postulated, or thought about. Because we proclaim Christ is among us. He is the God of the living. Just as he rose from the dead, so will Tekla rise with him. And we will rise and we will be with the Lord forever at a party. Not staring into space blindly, but the author of life has prepared for us a continuation of this life. And as much as we enjoy and love and celebrate this transient, temporary existence, we cannot even imagine what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. So yesterday I said, if you loved her, continue to build a living monument to those people that you love. And their greatest gift that you will ever give, that nothing can substitute, is yourself. Make that gift better by true Christian repentance, by saying, in spite of how disappointed I am in myself, the question is not, can I be better, but do I believe God can make me better? And love will be the force that will push me, guide me, make me stand and say to you, I want to be better because I love you. Because I am the gift that I give before I give anything else. This is what God wants. Because true worship of God is not incense, it's not candles, it's not singing, it's not even church. It's people saying, I love my God, I love each other, and because his teaching will bring me happiness. Imagine what a profound thought, that a God we call Father would want what every father wants. What does he want his child? Not to grovel before him, not to kneel, not to stand, but what does every father want? A child to be healthy, happy, enjoy their life, and live as long as possible. That's exactly what God wants from us, to be happy, to be healthy, to enjoy our lives as much as possible. And his commandments and his instructions are no burden. It is the other things that lie to us, promise the world, and take away our life from us. Those are the things that say, let's party, to forget where you are, to forget who you're with, because life is no good. Party because you have a life. Party because you have someone to share it with. And repent because you love people, God, and yourself enough to try once more. May God give Tekla eternal life. May she pray for us and wait for us. And there is an ancient custom that the priest, on behalf of the person who has departed, say, in honor of Tekla's memory, forgive her anything she has done that has hurt you by saying something, forgetting or to do something or doing something. Give her the gift of Christian forgiveness and prayer. And on behalf of the one who has departed, the priest says, and Tekla forgives you if you have said or done or failed to do anything, because Christian forgiveness is that beautiful affirmation that love will never die as long as we choose to love and forgive and try once again. Repent, because you love your God, your neighbor, and yourself. Христос страждає.